Good morning. Happy birthday. I love how people respond to that. I could say anything. Happy Easter, and everyone's like, Happy Easter. So but yeah, happy birthday. It is truly, it's the church's birthday today as we celebrate Pentecost. Pentecost is this powerful event in which the early church, the apostles and the disciples, the flooding of the Holy Spirit, the life principle of the church was given to them. Truly, what keeps the church alive, what pulsates through her bones, through her veins, is nothing less than divine life. The Holy Spirit is the soul of the church. Just as a soul stripped from the body dies. So too, the church, apart from the Holy Spirit, dies. And that's why today, as we celebrate Pentecost, we truly celebrate the birthday of the church. I want to share with you a powerful quote from Peter Kreeft. Peter Kreeft is a philosopher and theologian, still living. He teaches at Boston College. A very, very bright man. But his work is always very witty. He teaches the truths of the faith, but does it in a way that is kind of humorous. And so I want to share with you one of his quotes. How do you think the church has survived for 2,000 years without ever changing her teachings, only expanding them more deeply? Even when people inside the church, as well as outside, disbelieved and disobeyed her teachings, she never changed them. No other visible institution in the world has that faithful a track record. It is literally miraculous. The only explanation is that her soul is not human. It is divine. It is not our spirit. It is the Holy Spirit. Where do you think the church's masterpiece of a book, the New Testament, came from? A couple of confused Jewish peasants? Where do you think the profound theology of the Trinity and the Incarnation came from? Human wisdom? Where do you think the saints came from? The church is a saint-making machine like no other. Where do you think the thousands and thousands of Catholic miracles that have left their clear footprints in history came from? From human effort? From the sad, silly, shallow, sinful, selfish, stupid spirit of man? Or from the Holy Spirit of God? I think it's a beautiful truth to reflect upon, that at the end of the day, the guiding principle, the life-giving principle of the church isn't the Pope, it's not the bishops, it's not Father Jagger, it's the Holy Spirit. Now here's the catcher. The Holy Spirit isn't this vague force that just kind of like lives out ethereally in outer space somewhere. He's not just this kind of like the force in Star Wars that has just this power to kind of move things, or I just tap into it and it's just kind of guiding this ship called the church. That's not the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is a person. And this person desires with an ardent longing to invade your space. And so the church remains faithful. The church stays on course up and down the centuries in good times and in bad. Even when myriads of Catholics are unfaithful, she remains faithful. Not from some ethereal force that's out there somewhere, but rather because very specific, real individuals allowed the Holy Spirit to change them. And these saints arose in a time when the church needed direction and spoke boldly the truth or loved boldly from their hearts. I love when we look at the 12 apostles before Pentecost and after Pentecost, what a stark difference we see. Before Pentecost, these are young men who are so kind of confused, beguiled by Jesus Christ, afraid, and unwilling really to lay down their lives. Remember, the only apostle at the foot of the cross is John. Everyone else flees. After Pentecost, you see a transformation within their hearts that's almost or is miraculous. Think just to look at Paul. Paul is a murderer of Christians. He encounters Christ, is filled with the Holy Spirit, and he begins to be the greatest apologist of his time, going throughout the known Mediterranean world, getting on ships, going to all these different towns, standing in the town square. It's like you and I going down to downtown Big Rapids, or better yet, going down to downtown Grand Rapids, standing in the midst of the middle square and boldly, confidently, with great love, sharing the truth. And what did everyone do? Stand up and say, yes, we love you. We love what you're telling us. Not at all. There were a few, right, that caught attention, that were drawn to him. But for the most part, what did Paul receive? Beating, lashing. He was thrown in prison. We hear that he escapes prison and then he's thrown back again. He goes on a ship. They throw him overboard. This is a man who has been radically moved and changed by someone apart from himself. That's what we celebrate today. That there is a gift that each one of you has been given, a gift that I have been given. And it's not some ethereal force, it's a person. And that person wishes to establish a real, life-giving relationship with me, to invade my mind, my imagination, my heart, to expand the horizons of my being, to live a divine life. Just more recently, we don't have to go to the beginnings of the church to see kind of examples of this. Think back to St. John Paul II. A wonderful, bold pope. Most of you can still remember when he was in his pontificate. He is the greatest traveler of all the popes, even up to date, even with Pope Francis. Someone got within his heart and his mind and began to shake and move him. So much so that he went out to all the different places of the world to boldly proclaim God's endless love. He allowed the Holy Spirit to change him, and so went out and changed the world. Pope St. John Paul II, the first line that he gave us in his pontificate, right after he became pope, the pope goes into this inner chapel, and actually on the wall is this beautiful large mosaic of St. Peter's crucifixion. It's kind of a reminder. If you're going to become Pope, here's your end. This is your job that you're signing up for. So he goes into this chapel. He looks upon this mosaic of St. Peter being crucified. He puts on the Pope's garb, and he goes out onto that balcony that overlooks St. Peter's Square. And the first words that came out of his mouth were, "Do not be afraid." Now, the Pope had every right to be afraid. He just took upon his own shoulders the weight of the world. He just looked at the end, what he signed up for. And he said, "Do not be afraid." Do not be afraid of what? To let the Holy Spirit change you. St. Mother Teresa is another beautiful example. Think of this old Albanian nun. She's shorter than I am, and I'm short. short Albanian nun. If you've ever seen pictures of her toes, they're all crooked and like shriveled up. Total wrinkled face. Nothing about her that would say, you're an all-star. You're someone that we want to follow and be motivated by. For all human kind of measurements, no one would have looked upon her. But what happened? In her 40s, she was in her mid-40s. She was already a nun. She already had a relationship with Christ, obviously. But in her mid-40s, she had an encounter with the Holy Spirit that changed her drastically, that called her out to form the Missionaries of Charity. This small little nun, through the power of the Holy Spirit, shook the world, moved the world, truly changed the world. Why? Because she let the Holy Spirit change her. Here's the thing. I think most of us live our lives kind of like a crusty, shriveled up, dirty old rag. It's been used, it's worn, it's full of dirt, and it's kind of been left on the counter. You know what I'm talking about. Left on the counter, it's dried and shriveled up, it starts stinking, and it's so enclosed on itself. So cramped. And what the Holy Spirit wishes to do is take that cramped little rag. And the first thing he does is lift it up. The first thing he does is says, there's dignity in this. There's worth in this. The next thing the Holy Spirit does is take this crusty old rag that is all turned in on itself and it plunges it into water. And it begins to cleanse with the purity of His water this rag. So it slowly opens up. And all that dirt, all that crud, all those lies that are infused in every orifice of its being are slowly washed away. Isn't it true that our minds are so kind of filled with muck? So many lies about ourselves, who we think we are, who we have formed ourselves to be. Or when we look upon one another, all of these lies that degrade the dignity of the other or the dignity of ourselves. We're constantly filled with this muck of petty sin, undermining our worth. And the Holy Spirit picks this up. He places us, plunges us in His water and begins to purify it, to cleanse it. And in time, and it does take time as we enter into the presence of the Holy Spirit, to allow Him to expand our minds, to rid us of the lies which have infected us. As that takes place, there comes a time when He says, okay. And He removes that cloth, now become clean, out, and He hangs it on this line to dry in the wind. The ruha, the Hebrew word for spirit, it's life, begins to blow within this cloth. And it's filled with that Holy Spirit in a whole new way, totally free. Maybe for the first time in its whole life, it's finally experiencing freedom. Open, the wind literally beneath its wings. But that's not the end. At some point, once this dirty, old, crusty rag has been purified, opened up, and now is drying, filled with the Holy Spirit in the wind, the Holy Spirit now unplugs that rag and lets it go and lets it blow freely in the wind. You and I can reflect upon this analogy and see, where am I in this whole thing? I mean, it sounds beautiful. The Holy Spirit invading my heart, invading my mind, freeing me from the cramped thoughts that suffocate my existence, giving me a new life, a new vitality, sending me out in an adventure that breathes new goodness into the world. I mean, who would say I wouldn't want to sign up for that? But let's be honest. How many of us do? What holds you and I back? When the invitation of the Holy Spirit is simply let go, why do we say no? And I think there's two things. I promise I'm bringing this to a close. I think the first is our addiction to comfort. You and I love comfort. We love our lives as we have them. We love our relationships as we have them. We love our little kind of kingdom that we have created. And we don't want to have to press into something that's going to make me uncomfortable, that's going to shake me or press me in such a way that I'm going to feel suffering. And so even if my life feels cramped, even if I know I'm kind of suffocating, at least there's some pleasure there. And so I hold on to it. The next thing which kind of leads into it is our addiction. And I speak to myself for control. One of the things we hate the most is the unknown. That I can truly abandon myself to someone outside myself who's going to lead my life? No way! If I'm going to say, you know what, I let go. I let go of my way of thinking, my own understanding, my own passions and love, and I say, I trust you enough to guide me. I think most of us say, heck no. No way. Because we cling unto control. I want my life as I planned out, how I ordained it, how I wanted it to be. And I think the Holy Spirit looks down upon each one of us in that small, petty mentality. And in a beautiful, gentle way, I think he simply laughs. I think he looks upon that and he says, if only you knew the wonderful plans I have in store for you. Today we celebrate the gift that dwells in you. And I hope you really take that home. If you're baptized, the divine spirit lives in you. And with his great ardor, his great longing, he wishes to rip open your heart. He wishes to rip open your mind and set you on a journey that truly sets you free. As we come before the Blessed Sacrament to receive our Lord and through Christ to receive the Holy Spirit, simply take a deep breath and let him invade you. At the end of the day, may he truly change you.